Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. This morning we hear one of the hard sayings of Jesus. He says to those who are gathered around him, to his disciples, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them." It's a hard saying, and it certainly was one that was difficult for his disciples. Vicar Bree last week in her sermon mentioned throughout this whole bread cycle that we go through in John, the concerns, understandable concerns, that the imagery is just disgusting. It's cannibalism. And so the disciples, I think, like many others, get stuck on that idea. That's the image that's in their head. For me, I hearken back to the story of Jacob and putting his son on the altar, of the child sacrifice that we know that was part of early worship. Of the times over and over again where blood is spilled. And it's almost in that moment that Jesus is returning back to something we just can't accept. It's hard. It's hard. But I'm not sure it's the hardest word of Jesus. There are many more that I think Christians and the world hear from Jesus that I think are even more difficult. At least with this saying, we can sort of dismiss it as a sort of opaque reference to the Eucharist, to the bread and the wine that we eat each week. But some are more difficult and less palatable, really. For me, the harder sayings of Jesus are things like, "If you want to follow me, then sell all that you have and give it to the poor." There's no lack of definition there. There's no ambiguity. Or even when Jesus says to the disciples, "Follow me. Leave everything." There are plenty of hard sayings that Jesus calls us to which are not comforting or easy to understand. The disciples on this day find themselves teetering on indecision. As they hear Jesus say these words, you can imagine them thinking to themselves, "Has he lost his mind? Is this the Jesus that we said we would follow?" They are standing on the knife edge of indecision. What will people think? That's my Lutheran question. I think if the disciples had been Lutheran, the first thing they would have asked was, "Well, what will people think if we follow this man who just said these things? Am I crazy for following him?" They're at a tipping point. Should we follow? Or should we not? He has said something that is so hard. And unlike us, they have to make their decision without the benefit of knowing about the cross and his death and his resurrection and the outpouring of the Spirit that will follow. For them, that tipping point is not just theological or a matter of loyalty. For them, it is a tipping point of their lives. Do they follow Jesus, beloved teacher, healer? Will they hang in the balance with him as he says these hard things? Or will they simply walk away. The question that hangs in the balance is one that was set up by John in the first chapter. As Jesus was there with the disciples and they walked behind him, he turned to them and said, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are you looking for a companion, a teacher, a rabbi, a leader, a savior, a miracle worker, a nice place to hang out, a change of pace, a club, comfort, joy, challenge? What are you looking for? Transformation? Hope?" And now, all these chapters later, Jesus says something to them that makes them wonder, what were we looking for after all? And I think it's the same question we ask ourselves at our tipping points. I think the question of Jesus hangs in the balance with both the disciples at this point in their history and with us at this point in our history. I imagine a long silence after Jesus said those words, "Which road will we take?" they wonder. It seems to me that we find ourselves also at so many tipping points that it's almost impossible to walk that Occam's razor edge all the time. Here we are in the middle of tragedy after tragedy unfolding around us in our community and also in the world. The images of men and women and children clinging to the undercarriage of U.S. military transports in Kabul should never leave us. They should never be easily dismissed or forgotten. People so desperate to get away that they would risk their very lives. We should never forget the women who are literally fearing for their lives because they spoke up or got an education or got a job. These are not theoretical, theological issues that we can argue around cups of coffee and wine late at night. We cannot dismiss them as mere Eucharistic theory. This is flesh and blood and life. We find ourselves debating both sides of the question. We cannot surely spend another 40 years in a war far, far away. Nor can we abandon our principles that undergird our very existence, that human dignity and life are more important than politics. As we are here this morning, Haiti continues to find itself crushed under the weight of natural disasters and political unrest. And again, people are dying, hopeless, and in need. We can go on and on and on about all of the things that are happening in the world. COVID-19 once again finding its way uprising so unexpectedly. And again, we find ourselves walking a line between, well, should we force people to get vaccinated or not? A doctor in desperation wrote last week that he has simply decided that he can no longer treat unvaccinated COVID patients. It's just too hard. And whether we agree with his sentiment or not, we do understand that his soul is being torn apart. But what he believes versus what he can bear. We stand again and again, teetering on the brink of trying to decide what to do. There are hard sayings and hard situations all around us. Wherever we look, and we are exhausted and we are tired, and we just want to stop. Sometimes I think we want, like some of the disciples did, to simply walk away to something that is less difficult. To hide ourselves in the comfort of oblivion. We teeter not on the question of some kind of Eucharistic theory. I think what we teeter on and what the disciples teetered on that day is the question of whether or not we will choose life. Not just for ourselves, but for others. Or will we choose to fade into the background, irrelevant, but safe? Peter is often cast in this text as the hero. And I'm not so sure that's the right way to go. But Peter, when Jesus looks at the 12 and says to them, "Do you also wish to go away?" Again, I imagine in my mind a long silence as they thought about it. And Peter answers, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And those words, as hard as they are to hear, really are an answer to the question, are we willing to accept what Jesus has to offer, even if it is his own flesh and blood? Are we willing to accept what Christ is giving us, which is the ability and the hope and the energy to love in a way that seems way beyond anything we could imagine? Because you see, I think that the flesh and blood that Jesus speaks of is all wound up in what it means to be caught up in the Spirit of God, living and working and abiding in a world that is broken and full of hardship and hard sayings. And what Jesus offers us in bread and wine, in body, in blood, in community, in spirit, and his transformation is true life. Bound up in his word and his word of hope. And that true life comes not from the love that we receive from God. Certainly that is part of it. But the true love, the true life that we are given is the love that we will give away. to stand in solidarity with those who are suffering, to not look away from children clinging to the undercarriage of a C-47, and not forgetting that in Haiti, the world is exploding. And that for all the suffering and the hardness that is around us, Christ still remains and calls us to the hardest saying, I think, Jesus ever said. Love each other. Amen. Our worship continues with our hymn of the day. It's in the ELW, and it is Blessed Assurance, which we certainly need in these days, is some Blessed Assurance, number 638 in the ELW. Let's sing.